This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. For decades, after a corrupt regime was ended 100 years ago at City Hall, being the mayor of Cincinnati was mostly a ceremonial affair. The top vote-getter in council elections would serve in that role. That changed in 1999 when city voters approved an amendment to the city's charter allowing the mayor to be directly elected and handing whoever won the seat a raft of powers over Cincinnati City Council. But was that change a good thing? Some local political watchers say the mayor has too much power, and it's time to go back to the original spirit of Cincinnati's 1920s era charter reforms. Others, however, say the stronger mayor form of government in Cincinnati allows for decisive leadership and growth under the council manager system. Today, we continue our series, Trust in Local Government, WVXU's Public Integrity Project, with Mayor John Cranley, who spoke with me earlier about this. Here's our pre-recorded interview. And joining us now is Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley. Mayor Cranley, welcome back to Cincinnati Edition.
Michael, it's good to be back with you.
So today we're doing more of a civics lesson, I think, than a traditional interview with the mayor and radio host. And we're really looking to get an understanding of how you see the role of the mayor from a governmental and charter perspective in the city of Cincinnati. We know that, you know, more than 20 years ago, back in 1999, voters approved this amendment to the city's charter, creating a directly elected mayor, and it gives some additional powers to set the council legislative agenda and to name committee chairs and that sort of thing. Do you think this is an improvement over the previous system?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the fact is that we are going to be the first major city in Ohio to make a comeback in population in this year's census after having been declining for 60 years. And we've seen a dramatic repopulation of our city and economic rise. And I think there are many contributing factors to that, but I think the stronger mayor form of government, which is a hybrid and is mixed, it's not as strong as some cities, but it's stronger than what it had been before. I think it's a contributing factor to our success. And I attribute that not just to myself, but also to the leadership that Mayor Mallory and Lucan provided with the collaborative agreement and with economic development. And I think that we've seen a good run for the city, and I think it's going to continue.
Well, you have a unique perspective because you had also served on city council under one of these mayors serving in a in this new mayoral position. Did you feel...
Actually, I served as a city council member with both Mayor Lucan and with Mayor Mallory.
Perfect. So you saw it firsthand. I mean, did you think that you were at a disadvantage in any way as a member of council compared to what the mayor was able to do?
I wouldn't use that term, no. It's a totally different role. The mayor is an executive role in the... Council's a legislative role.
So we have this, I think when you said hybrid, did you mean like it sort of straddles that executive legislative office line?
Yeah, I mean, that's one way to put it. And it's just a different job. You know, it's a different role. It's a different job to be mayor and council. And that's clearly what the voters wanted when they passed it in 1999. And I worked on the campaign in 1998 and 1999, and I served actually a little bit under the old system and in the new system as council. The people who wrote the charter amendment in 1998, 1999 wrote a op-ed recently explaining their goals. I think they outlined it pretty well.
So we're referencing an article published by the Cincinnati Inquirer, written by journalists Dan Horn and Sharon Coolidge, and the headline is "Analysis: How John Cranley Became Cincinnati's Most Powerful Mayor in a Century." Does it feel like that to you, that you're the most powerful mayor in the city in 100 years?
No, it doesn't. I'm very, very proud that we've done a lot of good and we'll be the first major city in Ohio to make a comeback in population. And I'm very proud that I've led the effort to add so many jobs to the city to reduce. You know, in Ohio in the last 10 years, poverty's gone down by 22%, but in Cincinnati, it's gone down by 34%. So our efforts have not only repopulated and added jobs, but it has brought the bottom up too. And I think that I'm proud that I had some role in all of that. And whether, you know, whether it's the most important or not, I, you know, probably not. But I'm happy that I've been able to lead at this incredible transition from 60 years of population decline to rebirth.
So the catalyst for the article that was published in the Inquirer appears to be a memo that was sent out from the city solicitor's office, Andrew Garth, and city manager Paula Boggs-Muthing, who co-signed on that, titled Charter Roles Generally and in Economic Development. And it sort of explains the role that the Cincinnati mayor can play based on their analysis of the city charter. And it sort of expands upon the idea of whether, you know, the mayor should be directly engaging in development and that sort of thing, or whether that should be more reserved for the city manager. What is your take on that?
I think it's a brilliant memo that clearly reflects the goals of the people that wrote the Charter Amendment in 1998-9 and passed it by the vote of the people. And it's certainly, you know, if you read their opinions and also the memo that Paula Boggs-Muthing wrote about 6 years ago, which says exactly the same thing, it's a real limited role for the mayor. The mayor is to be directly involved in the sense of cheerleading and welcoming in development. But, you know, in most major American cities where you have an executive mayor, the mayor actually signs the contracts and is in charge of every aspect of the deals. Here, we have a very symbiotic relationship and need a symbiotic relationship to mayor and manager and her administration to be effective. But there is separation. And so, and that's why I think it's more properly described as a stronger mayor, not a strong mayor, and a hybrid. And I am very respectful of those limits and worked very well with the administration, and we've gotten a lot done. So I think it's from the, obviously there's been these scandals on the council side, but from the executive side, I'm very proud of what we've been able to accomplish.
That's kind of where I was going to go next. And again, just for our listeners' sake, we're talking with Cincinnati Mayor John Cranley here on Cincinnati Edition. Obviously, people's attention, it's heightened due to the indictments of multiple members of city council related to either convictions on corruption charges related to developments or charges related to involvements in developments. So do you have any trepidation now? I know that you've certainly not been brought up on any charges or anything like that. We're not trying to suggest that anything untoward has transpired. But does it give you pause at all as an elected official in the city of Cincinnati directly meeting with developers in the shadow of what has happened all around you?
Well, I certainly am angry that allegedly, you know, a number of council members broke the law and did things they weren't supposed to do. In some cases traded their great name and public office for personal gain, which is what they've been accused of. And one is pled guilty to. And so that makes me angry as someone who's devoted most of my career to trying to improve the city. And I'm proud of my service and I know it's been honest services. And so I get angry about that. But I conduct myself ethically and honestly. I'm very aware of the limitations that the mayor has under the charter, which is, I'd like to point out again, in every major American city where there's a strong mayor, which is most of the bigger cities in Cincinnati, the mayor signs every contract, is in charge of everything. And here we have checks and balances, professional independent staff. And so I think we strike a good balance here.
The head of the charter committee here in Cincinnati, Matt Woods, has been critical of your interpretation of the charter and perhaps the way you've engaged in your governance as mayor of the city. He did refer to you in the same article we've been talking about as Boss Cranley, as if you are trying to usurp the balance of power between from council and the city manager, according to a direct quote in that article. We will be talking to Matt Woods on today's program. Do you have a response to that?
Yeah, it's all ridiculous. It's a straw man argument that doesn't exist. He's essentially attacking the legal acumen of Andrew Garth, who's a Stanford law grad and is a city solicitor who reaffirmed opinion from the previous city solicitor, who also is reflecting what was passed not 100 years ago, but 20 years ago by people who are still alive and have written op-eds explaining what they were trying to accomplish. And one of those people is Ohio Supreme Court Justice Pat DeWine, who's also a pretty good, smart lawyer. And so there's no real debate as to what the roles are. And we respect those roles, and I respect those roles, and I resent any implication to the contrary. And so what they're describing is not actually what I do, and it's a caricature of, I guess, strong executive mayors in other cities who do, in fact, have those powers, but we don't have those powers here. And I respect the limitations that the charter has outlined.
So, Mayor, we do have a city manager at City Hall, Paula Boggs-Muthing. And based on this interpretation of the charter and your understanding of it, can you help our listeners and me understand what is the role of the mayor? What is the role of the city manager? Because it does seem that some critics are characterizing you as serving both functions.
Well, look, people have every right to criticize my tenure. You know, not everybody wants to see population growth and poverty go down faster than the state average, but we're proud of what we've accomplished. And it's certainly the case that we moved to a stronger mayor system. That was explicitly what was on the ballot and what was approved. And, you know, a lot of the folks who have been critical, you know, opposed my election at both of my elections. And so, you know, just because you don't get the outcome you want in the election doesn't mean it's fair or appropriate or even in good faith to suggest that somehow I'm breaking the charter. And ironically, they seem to be advocating that the council should be more powerful as it was prior to these changes. And we've had 4 indictments of city council members. It seems like this is the last time. The last minute we should be looking at raising the power of city council. It seems like we should be re-educating city council on their appropriate role and function.
And so
I just want to point out the irony and the gaslighting of the of some of the criticism that is instead of pointing the finger at city council where all the corruption has come from, we have a few folks who have opposed me politically for a long time pointing the finger at me. Having said all that, as the charter was clearly amended. The mayor is the chief spokesman for the city, which was an enhanced power. And so all external entities, whether it be, a nonprofit or the University of Cincinnati or the state of Ohio or the federal government or members of Congress or a business person trying to invest in the city or a homeowner, everyone who is trying to act from the outside with the city should feel appropriately in a democracy to contact their elected mayor as a point of contact, and that when they meet and talk to the mayor, that they should have some good faith sense that the mayor is able to represent the executive branch of the government in a way that will keep faith with what is being offered and or discussed. That is not to say that and I always am clear that I do not speak for city council and there are roles that could be checked, that the administration could recommend a course of action that the city council might not agree with. The role of the manager is to be the chief executive officer of the 6,000 person city government that includes police and fire and sewer and sanitation and parks and rec. And the charter is very clear that she is in charge of personnel decisions. And this is part of making sure that there isn't a creeping cronyism and professionalism and independence is not compromised with the hiring of the professional staff, which has civil service protection as well. Independent of all of that, there is also the role that the manager separately and professionally signs contracts. And I do not. And so there's another check on the role of the mayor, that there is professional review of any contract. And I don't play any role in procurement and picking contractors and things of that nature. And all of that is set up by design, I believe. And I think it's an interesting, but certainly unique system that we have. to enhance the power of the mayor to be a spokesman for the city, to advocate for the city, and to effectively communicate the city, but also keep checks and balances in place to keep the executive branch in a more transparent, ethical, and honest approach.
Mayor Cranley, in our last minute together, do you think there would be danger in reverting back to the previous form of city government, or benefit or danger to expanding upon mayoral powers?
Well, I think that the proof is in the pudding. The city under our leadership is doing better. We're growing a population, reducing poverty faster. Clearly, with four indictments of city council, the question should not be the role of the mayor. The question is, what can we do to further ensure that the council doesn't break its rules and its role under the city charter? And it seems to me that that should be where the heart of the public discussion is, and where what we should reform.
John Cranley is the mayor of Cincinnati. Mayor Cranley, thank you so much for the time you gave us.
Thank you.
Up next, we hear from the head of the Charter Committee about his concerns of too much power in the mayor's hands. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue our discussion about power at Cincinnati City Hall and whether the system allows the mayor too much and whether the spirit of the charter is being flouted. Matt Woods is president of the Charter Committee. He joins us live now via Zoom. Matt, welcome back to Cincinnati Edition.
Thanks, Michael. It's an honor to be on.
So you heard the mayor there, I imagine, and I'm just going to open it up to you. What's your reaction to his interpretation of the current structure of government at City Hall?
Well, I mean, you know, the challenge I have with the mayor is, you know, the revisionist history of what occurred 20 years ago, and even referencing one of the framers of that charter amendment. In his 2006 op-ed, Jeff Birding was just talking about how the mayor is a legislative mayor that just happened to get some additional executive powers. But fast forward 20 years, it sounds like we have a true executive mayor that happens to have some legislative powers. And that's the problem, is the further we get away from this policy or from this, you know, the time frame, the more we see that there's issues with, you know, where we're at today. So
when we look back to the most recent city council election, of course, we'll have another one this year, but four of the members who were elected last time around are now facing criminal indictments. One has been convicted, two have been suspended. And the mayor seemed to say that people focusing on my role at City Hall should maybe look at the way city council members are conducting themselves. I was wondering what your take on that might be.
Well, I mean, you know, my biggest issue really is, you know, we've called out the corruption within our council members, and we're not saying that the mayor is corrupt. What we are saying, though, is that the current construct is very, you know, he references the legal opinion of the city solicitor, and the realization there is that the city solicitor is enabling him to take powers I think the charter does not say. And there's always two interpretations to really anything. And by making things so gray, I think because most of council sees themselves as obviously the true legislators of the city, and the mayor being the top legislator, I feel like they took liberties that they thought was acceptable because our legislative mayor was doing it himself. And for our, you know, the biggest challenge for us is that there are powers that the mayor has that are a very dangerous construct. And our when it comes to the pocket veto, for instance, you know, he doesn't talk about that, you know, as this executive mayor, he does control the legislature by not allowing agenda. Like, he controls the agenda. The ability for anything to go before our city council really lies on the mayor and his vetting to even get it before council. And that power is almost like a passive, when he talks about the differences of other cities with executive mayor, it really actually sets up when I reference to him as a boss, it's an actual, almost the most powerful type of mayor, because he basically creates a council that's a rubber stamp committee, and he gets to hold executive power, and he really turned the city manager into the COO of the city rather than the CEO. And that's why we're pushing back, is that we feel like he's taken more powers than what the charter actually says.
We're talking with Matt Woods. He's president of the Charter Committee. The catalyst for this conversation, Matt, was a memo crafted by the city solicitor and the city manager, who had previously served as a city solicitor. The mayor shared their bona fides in the legal field, certainly, and suggest that their interpretation of the city charter and the role of the mayor and the council therein is solid. You disagree with their legal interpretation. What specifically do you take umbrage with as it relates to the way the city manager and the city solicitor have interpreted the charter and the mayor's role?
Well, I don't think there was anything like sinister or illegal as to what they said within it. I think the problem is that they, I feel like the memo is like an enabling document. It's just like, if I have a condition, but one doctor says, no, you don't have it, but then you keep trying to find the right doctor to give you the opinion you want to hear. That's how I feel that opinion is. My frustration and standpoint is that, our mayor gets involved in development deals that the city manager, who's the professional manager, CEO of our city, and then has the power to put that agenda item in front of council. And then you see that these developers and these special interest groups are putting money into political action committees, PAC money, donating to the mayor. And while there isn't a direct quid pro quo, the perception is very much in line with that as well. And so that's my biggest standpoint, is that, you want the separation of powers to truly be a separation, and for the ability for him to be in the middle of a development deal, then to also accept donations, and then also to have the in front of council, and then have veto power. It becomes a quasi mayor that absolutely has power in every facet of our city government. He's basically in charge of city management, charge of the mayor's role, and in charge of council, and it's too powerful.
So what should happen here? Voters are certainly looking at candidates to fill certain roles at City Hall this year. Is there some sort of ballot measure or election initiative that should be undertaken to address this? Or do you believe the charter does spell out the role of the mayor and it's just not being followed?
According to the mayor and to the city solicitor and now city manager, there may be some grayness in the language, and I think it's very important that maybe we need to, to us it's clear, but if it's not clear, then I think the charter language needs to be cleaned up. We need to make sure that there is a true separation of powers. And while the mayor is very much discussing that, his role of, he doesn't discuss the pocket veto and the ability for him to control the agenda. And a prime example was the Liberty and Elm project. There were two different proposals that were very solid, but one barely passed city council, but there was another one that was on there, but it was second on the agenda that could have very easily passed 7-2 or had a much bigger buy-in. But because the mayor would not allow that agenda item to go in front of the other, a inferior proposal was accepted. And that's a very powerful thing that most people don't understand. It's actually the same power the Queen of England has over Parliament in England. There's a Guardian article that was recently released that talks about she has that power to control what goes before Parliament, but very few people understand how truly powerful that pocket veto really is.
We're talking with Matt Woods. He is the president of the Charter Committee. So to that end, it's not unusual within the inner workings of government for legislators and an executive to butt head over procedures and policies, and at the same time for the public not to pay too much attention to it. Maybe it just doesn't seem relevant to their lives. Is there a way you see the community members of Cincinnati recognizing what you see as a problem in the way City Hall is operating currently?
I think there's twofold. I think, council, we're not advocating for a stronger council. We're actually asking for council to just do what they're supposed to do, which is what's in the charter, stand up, push back against the mayor when you think he's crossing the line. And even for citizens, it's coming to council. It's speaking on behalf of the citizenry and saying, hey, Mr. Mayor, you should not be involved in the firing of Chief Blackwell. Hey, Mr. Mayor, you should not be receiving PAC money on a deal that you put before council. It's, hey, Mr. Mayor, the city manager is a CEO. Your role does have executive powers, but it's limited. And, going into, the growth of our city, we want you to be that ribbon cutting. We want you to talk to the country about how great Cincinnati is. We want you to bring people to Cincinnati, but we don't want you to be the only focal point, the funnel for anything and everything that has to do with Cincinnati. Cincinnati is full of great and creative people, and I love being part of it. And the mayor has a role, but it's not the role that is the end all be all for our city.
Matt, do you think that the previous form of government, where, the top vote getter in a city council race would serve as mayor, was a superior form?
I don't know that that was necessarily a superior form, but I do know that it worked. We had 80 years of zero corruption. We had zero indictments of council. I mean, you look at what's changed in the last 20 years, and it's really been the change in our system. And now we have 4 indicted council members. We have political conflicts, money flowing into these political campaigns that are just unbelievable for a 2-year term position. The city just feels like it's a pay-to-play system. And to be honest with you, I don't know that it was a superior system, but it was definitely a system that worked well. You look at cities like Austin and San Jose that have a true city council, city manager system. They're obviously growing. They're obviously bringing in talent. And they're, you look at Atlanta in the 1980s, they were the same size as Cincinnati, but look at where Atlanta is today. So I can't say that just because we changed the system, that's the reason Cincinnati's where it is today. I think having the right talent and the right people, competent leadership is what brings people to a great city like ours.
I want to note an op-ed that was also published in the Cincinnati Inquirer. It was written by a group called Build Cincinnati. According to the op-ed, Build Cincinnati was a group that advocated back in the 1990s for a strong executive mayor form of government. Some of the names associated with this organization signed on to this op-ed include Roxanne Qualls, who had served on city council, certainly Pat DeWine, a former city council member who is currently on the Supreme Court, Jeff Birding, a former Cincinnati city councilman who was president of FC Cincinnati. I want to read the last part of this op-ed and get your reaction to it, Matt. They say, quote, "This system works with a mayor and city manager who are working in concert, and the system also provides a mayor who is not in harmony with the city manager with the tools to correct the situation for the good of the city. It has been 20 years since the charter change was approved. We feel the city has benefited immensely from the revised charter, as demonstrated by population growth, neighborhood revitalization, and unprecedented economic investment. And while others can debate that success, one thing should not be debatable. The charter makes the mayor the, quote, official head and representative of the city for all purposes, just as we intended." Your reaction to that?
Yeah, and that goes to my earlier point about revisionist history. If you refer back to an op-ed from Jeff Birding in 2006, he clearly lays out that, hey, this wasn't an executive mayor. this was a stronger legislative mayor, and clearly spells that out in his op-ed. And the realization is that they wanted a true executive mayor, and it failed twice before voters before they settled on this lighter, stronger mayor system. But really their true intentions was in an absolute executive mayor. But what they did is created something that was so gray that now our mayor is a quasi-executive, legislative, city manager in charge of everything. And it's exactly why I wasn't trying to be hyperbole. I was absolutely trying to say that he was stepping into his role and, basically taking on too much. So that to me, I think, is exactly what their intentions were, but that's not what voters wanted.
I've got about 30 seconds left, Matt, and I know we sort of touched on this moments ago, but what are you going to do about it? What is the Charter Committee going to push for something? Are you going to push for something? Should voters be pushing for something?
You know, I definitely feel, especially with the pocket veto, that is something that voters absolutely need to change. It's a power that I think gives too much behind the scenes power that no one really understands. And for us, I think there's charter revisions, and what we need is to get council members that buy in and understand what their roles are, understand what the roles of the mayor is, and understand what the role of the city manager is. And if we need to clean up the charter to make it more clear, that's absolutely what we're going to do. And we're going to put people in leadership that are going to get it done.
Matt Woods is president of the Charter Committee. Matt, thanks for your time. And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Our assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. Our technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at wvxu.org. I'm Michael Monks. We'll talk again tomorrow.